Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, country, and one nation under God. Also about, I love my country, it's the government I'm afraid of. That's something I have been saying for many years. That's what I got so much trouble for saying. My violation of my constitutional rights of free speech, which we talked about the last couple weeks. But I want to mention there's another one coming up, another thing that I just heard, which is also equally appropriate. It is, I don't fear global warming, I fear global government. So think of those two lines when you're talking about anything to do with what's happening in our country today and who you would be, when you talk to candidates, how you challenge them, what we need to be doing. So, once again, I love my country. It's the government I'm afraid of. I don't fear global warming. I fear global government. Those are the two. Anyway, today is Monday, August 1st, 2022, and we'll start off with the American Creed, and then we'll dive into all sorts of other stuff, especially Joe Biden and his is he the POTUS or is he the dictator? Plus a few other things. But we'll get there in a couple of minutes. Okay, let's start off with the American Creed. I believe in the United States of America as a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, whose just powers are derived from the consent of the governed. A democracy and a republic, a sovereign nation of many sovereign states, a perfect union, one and inseparable, established upon the principles of freedom, equality, justice, and humanity, for which American patriots sacrificed their lives and fortunes. I therefore believe it is my duty to my country to love it, to support its constitution, to obey its laws, to respect its flag, and to defend it against all enemies. All enemies. That means enemies from within and exterior foreign enemies. So we need to remember that. And again, we need to remember, I love my country, it's the government I'm afraid of, and it really is so true. Now, hopefully you're hearing me okay. I've been having some technology problems today, and I've got a new headset, so I hope it's working. I hope you can hear me. If you can't, please send me a text and say I can't hear you. Okay. Now, before we take a big dive into the executive orders and the emergency powers of the presidency and what's really going on there, I wanted to just go over a couple other things that have been going on just recently. And last week we talked about China, and I really want to stress, I mean, this has got to be a key topic for these people that are in every office, at the federal and state level, it doesn't matter. Are we going to allow China to simply take over our country? Are we going to stand here while they invade, buying up land, buying up the thousands of acres in North Dakota, buying up farmlands, buying up companies like Smithfield Foods, total control of our pharmaceutical prescription drugs? So if you take prescription drugs, do what you can to not have to take them. See if you can't come up with some natural alternative or something. And then all the supplies, the mechanisms, the cell phones, the computers, we have totally sold our soul to China. And we let them come in, take over the homeland, bring in the fentanyl. At what point are we going to realize we're being attacked right here in our own homeland by a communist country, and when are we going to stop it? Well, Congress has got to put controls in place about foreign control of the homeland. Communist China shouldn't be allowed to own and control this country. I know that sounds like a crazy idea, but you know what? They really shouldn't. So when are we going to stop letting the enemy come in and take over? Adversary, if you want to call it that, whatever. You can call it whatever you want. I call them the enemy. So that's a really biggie. And I tell you, I'm still out there looking, trying to get the true total ownership of everything that the Chinese Communist Party has taken over in this country. And I mean, if China owns it, it's going to be the Chinese Communist Party that's going to be doing this. how much do they truly have full control of this country right now? Do they have 50% control? I don't know. I know because of their the way they're taking over these farmlands and this other stuff, and of course Smithfield Meats, which was like or Smithfield Foods, which is back in 2014, I think it was, they did that, and the fentanyl they have, they could attack us so easily from here. And they don't want to destroy this land. They don't want to bomb it. They want the resources of it. But for them to just eliminate us off of it, and this, it's just insane. So we've got to force this issue with these people running for office and demand that they do something. It's just insane to allow your enemy to come in, say, open the door, come on in, take over my home. That's fine. No problem. Because that's really what's happening. It really is. Then, of course, we have this other deal with Nancy going over to Taiwan and all this other stuff. And I mean, I think the whole thing's crazy, but once she actually made that statement, what do you do for them to go and threaten to say that they're going to take action if she goes over there? And, of course, I mean, some people wouldn't. Being a little bit cruel here, some people say, well, that's one way to get her out of the house if they take down the plane, because that's what some people are saying. They're going to shoot down the plane before she lands something. It's all insane, and we can't be intimidated that way, but it's also a true risk now, so we'll see what happens on that one. And then let's see, what else? Next week, make sure I get this in there. Next week we're going to be doing a really deep dive on COVID and what it really means. What does COVID really mean? What this whole thing has been, how it's been a true attack. I'm going to probably spend the first 30 minutes of the show next week telling you what I think it really is and what has happened here, and then people can chime in. I think, you know, at some point, Americans have to face the fact that we are truly under attack. We are at risk right now from so many different levels, the enemies from within, then the enemies like China that we invite in, and then this insane reset, global reset that they're trying to do. It's because China's never going to be part of the global great reset thing. They're not going to do that. They don't believe in that. They want control of everything. And I guess the one other thing I'll mention when it comes to China, because China owns so much here in this country, on this homeland, just because it says made in America doesn't mean, you know, made in USA, made by China. What is really made by the USA, the real USA, and not by China? Because how would you know when China seems to have taken over so much of our economy and our homeland? It's just disgusting. Okay, and then the other is the ESG opposition. Governor DeSantis has put information out there. He's going to be blocking it, things, actions he's taken. The Treasury of West Virginia is doing it. Other states are doing this. We've got to get louder and louder. So many of these candidates don't even know what ESG is. And this is the ultimate example, I think, of fascism. If you talk about fascism, we have fascism all over this country. I mean, we really are a fascist society. At this point, anytime you hear them say public-private partnership, that is fascism, because that's government control over the private sector. They can act like it's the private sector, a private company, corporation, but it's really not, because the public-private partnership means the government is controlling, pulling the strings. So ESG is the ultimate example. The government is playing games with the corporations to do this. So we've got to get that out there, but there is getting pushback on it. But we've got to keep that going. And you really got to talk to these candidates, because most of them have no clue what it is. They really don't. Another thing, Fox bans Trump for the next 100-plus days or whatever. Whatever the games are going on with Fox News, these people are nuts too. I mean, after seeing what they did, I mean, I always knew they were center, I guess. You know, they weren't quite as conservative as some people thought in the past, but overall they were better than the CNNs, obviously. But after what happened in this last election, and they just keep going and going and going, it just seems to be even worse. And so now they're going to try to dismiss Trump. They're going to try and push him out of the election. They're going to act like he doesn't exist, apparently. You can read some different articles out there on this, but it's just, it's disgusting. He was actually complimenting Greg Gutfeld and Pete Hegseth on one of his rallies just recently. So I don't know, but that's another crazy thing going on. And here's the biggie. People know me. No, I don't truly like either one of the parties. Can't stand them. I think they're both corrupt. Play different games. And so many Democrats have taken over the Republican Party that we almost have one party, but the Democrat Party is still the Marxist, communist, extremist, if you will, even though there's a few of those, I think, on the Republican Party as well because the Democrats run as Republicans. But there's a new party out there. It's called Forward, as I was seeing it, an attempt to create a new party. And I truly believe it truly could go either way because it's really more of a centrist kind of party. It's not really left or right. This new party, it could replace either the Democrats or the Republicans. If the Republicans go in there and screw everything up, then people are going to want another party. They're going to want to replace the Republican Party with something else. Who knows, maybe something similar could happen on the Democrat side. So keep that in mind and remind these Republicans, if they don't do the job, which most of us fear they won't, they can be replaced, and we have to replace them if our country survives. That is the very big if. Now, you can go out there and say anything you want to say about Biden and his COVID. And thank goodness he got all those vaccines and boosters and all this, and he got it once. He got over it so easily because of all the vaccines. Now he's got it again. Hey, what game is going on here? And he doesn't seem to isolate himself too much. So that's another scam on us. Again, we'll talk a lot about COVID next week, and we'll talk a little bit more about him as well. Because we got to get to the truth of what COVID really is about. And I was talking about the election issues. Make sure you talk about these executive orders and these emergency powers. We're not supposed to have dictators in charge. Congress has slacked on their job. We need to make sure we actually have a president and not a dictator. So, and again, we'll talk more about that with the rest of the show. And let's see. Okay. One of the biggies for this election, especially these Republicans, they have got to go in there and remove the immunity given to these drug companies. These drug companies must not be allowed to just go do whatever they feel like doing. They can go out there and everything to do with this vaccine has been, as far as I'm concerned, a bioweapon. I truly believe that, in my own opinion, a bioweapon, depopulation. Whatever, for a variety of reasons, why they were doing this, why they have done it, why they continue to do it, and they don't care because they're immune. Here, they got billions and billions of dollars from the federal government, which means you and me, to go out there and do this to kill people, and they have no liability. And they knew this stuff was wrong. They knew what they were doing was evil. They know it's evil now, and they're still doing it because they have no risk of any kind of liability. So we have absolutely got to get these people running for office. They better go out there and clean up that, too. Immigration, I think we all know that's a major mess. They better do something about that. What are they going to do? This president, is he a dictator or president out there just totally ignoring what the laws are? And then I would suggest people call Senator Manchin to go out there and say, what did they pay? How did they bribe you to change your mind on this vote? On the climate nonsense, and now they're calling it deflation, inflation, I don't know what it is. They got some other stupid name about their recession and inflation, deflation, whatever kind of nonsense they got going. But and I have called his office before, and I'm going to call him again. I'm going to ask him, how did they bribe you? I'll call after hours, and I'll leave it on a voice message because I don't need to talk to anybody because it's not like they're going to answer me on the phone. But I will definitely say, what did they do that bribe you to go to the other side? It's just disgusting. And let's see here. The other, we talked about that one, fascism. Make sure you really need to understand what fascism is and understand that we are a fascist society right now. The public-private partnerships and the ESG stuff, all the stuff going on is all government taking over the private sector. What is the private sector? That's why they had to get rid of all the small businesses, too. They had to shut down as much as they could, and we've got to get rid of public-private partnerships should be illegal. It's one thing for a government entity to contract with a road builder or whatever to do certain things, a contract, which should be open bids. That's a whole other story, but they should not be allowed to have public-private partnerships. Government should never be in partnership with the private sector, otherwise you don't have a private sector. And many of us, and I see Karen out there, and she'll probably chime in on this one in a minute there, we've been talking about this for years. If you go out there and look at some of my older shows, I don't know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, I don't know what it is, we've had many shows on public-private partnerships. It's the collusion of government and the private sector. What does that mean? It's fascism. The government takes control of the private sector. You don't have a private sector anymore. Let's see. Then we've got, one more little thing on the China thing. McConnell, understanding how close McConnell and his wife are all tied into China, and you need to go out there and look up Foremost Group and look up the Secretary of Chow, Elaine Chow. She was the Secretary of Transportation under Trump, if you can believe this. Another thing where Trump, I don't know where he was at on this one. But anyway, go look up Foremost Group on transport. See her relationship to the Chinese government and everything else in this corporation. Disgusting. I think it was her father who founded it, I believe. Major conflict of interest there. And I haven't even talked anything about Hunter Biden and all that nonsense yet. So anyway, these are just some of the things that are going on right now. I wanted to take a quick update on it. We have to face the fact, face the truth, that the fall of the USA is here now if we don't do something. I don't know that we can save it now. We've already been converted into a fascist society. We've allowed government to take over so much control of so many things, which isn't the role of government. We really don't hardly have a private sector anymore. And yet, when we've opened the door, rolled out the red carpet, come on in, China, take over. It's all yours. I guess I should mention, I did hear one thing that was interesting, and this was late this afternoon, haven't seen any articles or news, it's just one of these breaking things that comes across. An Al-Qaeda leader was killed in Afghanistan. Now, if this happens to be true, you can only imagine how they're going to try to play this up as our commander-in-chief is so strong on whatever, taking down the enemy, whatever. I can only imagine what will be said. And I really don't know anything more than that. I just saw this headline thing flash about a leader, Al-Qaeda leader, was killed in Afghanistan. And that was about it. I can't really tell you much more. So I find that interesting. But if, in fact, that is the case, which I'm not disappointed, I think it's probably a good thing to help take down our enemies. But I can only imagine how they'll try to play this up with this election coming up. Is it going to make a difference to most people that he took down an Al-Qaeda leader right now? Or somebody did, we don't know. We know the president doesn't do a whole lot of this. He just sits behind the desk and takes pictures and whatever else kind of thing. So we can find out more about that one. And with that being said, we will start to get into the executive orders and the emergency declarations, emergency powers that are given to the president. But I'm going to give Karen a chance to chime in. Well, I'm going to try to give her a chance to chime in. Like I said, I've been having technology problems today, big time. On what I've said so far, and then we will take a deep dive into what executive orders really are. They're very vaguely defined in the Constitution by what I can see. And that's why I made a mention of what I wrote out there on the show page. And then the Emergency Powers Act, what that is, and how it gives the president extreme powers. However, Congress has the right to cancel them as well. So that's another piece of it. Now, with that being said, welcome, Karen. I was saying an awful lot very fast. What are you thinking about any of that?
You certainly did, and it was very difficult to keep up, but that's what's going on, and you're a perfect example of why they try to confuse us so that we can't focus. But thank you for having me on the show. It is always wonderful to be part of this conversation. And I agree with you with the executive powers, just like Obama. Well, Biden hasn't changed much, and because they can't get what they want through legislation in the legislative branch where they're supposed to write the laws, because the executive branch is not supposed to write laws. The only thing they are supposed to do is execute the laws that we, the people, tell them we want them to execute. And that's the way a representative republic works. You tell your elected officials what you want them to do, not what they want you to do. That's not the way it works. And I really despise when the officials go to meetings and they'll say, I. No, it's not I. You represent your district. Nobody cares what you think. You're supposed to be paying attention to what we think, which is why we sent you there. And this is where the disconnect is, because the globalists believe that they should be in control of all of that. And they do it by writing laws through executive orders. So it's even if you even look at mandate, and if they haven't changed the definition of it, a mandate is a suggestion. I'm mandating that you do whatever. Do I have to do it? No. Is it a law? No. Is it a written law? No. But it is a suggestion. And this is how we got into trouble, because what is going on right now, through your exactly right fascism, where the government becomes partners with industry, is that the government, they can't get all of these, quote, laws through. So, and they can't get all of them as executive orders, because executive orders should be all the time challenged for its constitutionality, because most of them are not. So what they do is they turn around to their new partner, Chase Bank, let's use that one as an example. They turn around to Chase Bank and they say, okay, Chase Bank, we're going to give you lots and lots of contracts, but what we want you to do is rate. We're going to give you a new rating score, a new way to score your customers. So no longer will that company get a 10 because they have an incredibly excellent product and it's just jumping off the shelves and it is so wonderful and everybody wants it and they're going to make so much money, except it's an all-white board. There's no diversity on their board of directors. Their office staff is 70% or 80% Asian. You can't have that. So rather than looking at, is the company going to produce a wonderful product that will, everybody is going to be happy and we're all going to make a lot of money, all they care about is checking off the boxes. Yes, we have a black. Yes, we have an Asian. Yes, we have a Jew. Yes, we have a Muslim. And that's the way the people are being selected to run these corporations and agencies. So now what happens is, like I said, government goes to Chase and they say, okay, we have to eliminate, they don't tell Chase this, we have to eliminate the middle class. What's the best way to do that? Money, of course, because they always need money. So what's the best way to do that? Well, they dreamed up this ESG, which is environment and social justice and governance. So they don't rate the company on whether or not the product is wonderful. They rate the company on whether or not they're diversified. They have enough ethnic groups. They are inclusive. They have enough genders, and they're wonderful to the LGBTQ community and governance. Are they making sure that their trash is recycled in the right way? Are they following all of the government climate policies that they have to follow? How much CO2 are they using? Are they buying carbon credits? Are they buying mitigation for waterways? Are they promoting conservation? Now that's the way the company is rated. And in order to get anything, instead of filling out your survey and producing documents to get a grant, you now have to prove all of these things, because otherwise you won't have a good ESG rating. And if you don't have a good ESG rating, you don't get any money. So it becomes a vicious cycle. And sadly, it is easier for the small business to go out of business. But I don't know, Sally, I have good feelings, and I guess hopefully tomorrow night might be a good answer. Tomorrow night is the Arizona primary. And if the America First people really do what they say, then I believe we are headed in the absolute right direction, which is to get rid of these criminals. People are smart enough now to recognize what they're doing, what the globalists are doing, and the rhinos and what they're doing. And I think that we have a really good chance. And the barometer, I believe, is going to be tomorrow's primaries.
That is true. That would be a very good indicator of, have we woken up enough people, awakened, the enough people to realize how insane what's going on. There's something very bad and sick when you can't define what a woman is and what a man is and, you know, and this other stuff, the insanity of all that. And then when you see what this president is doing, and it's just, I mean, I'm with you. I haven't totally given up, but I have to be realistic of what has happened right this moment, because even at this point in time, if we go out there and we're changing the tone of the people that are in office, getting America First people elected, I'm going to call them America First people instead of either party, getting them elected first in place, and they start to do things, I can't help but wonder what China will do, because they have such a grip on this country. And they're not the only one. I'm trying to remember whether it's Russia or who else has major investment in this. I mean, why are we selling our homeland, our home, to our enemy? It's beyond me to understand the logic anymore. Go ahead.
Can I ask you this? Stop right there, because you made a really important point. You said, why are we selling our home to the enemy? Who the enemy is? The globalists, the radicals. America is not their home. They don't care about America. It's just another place. And therefore, they can easily sell off pieces of it because it's nothing special. And by the way, America is rich in natural resources. So everybody wants America, but there's one problem. America belongs to its people. Imagine if we were selling oil. The profit, quote, profit of the oil found on, quote, federal lands, which they're not allowed to own anyway, should really go to the state. And like in Alaska, every person in Alaska got X number of dollars a month from the profit of the oil that they were selling in Alaska. That's the way it's supposed to work. So if we sold mineral rights like Uranium One, Bill and Hillary were not supposed to get the reward of that. The American people were. It's on our land. It's not on Bill and Hillary's or Obama's parcel to do anything with, and yet nobody says anything.
That's the part that drives me so crazy. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say mostly it's because I don't believe people know. They don't understand that the reason why America was set up the way it was is so that they could own a piece of the rock.
Exactly.
And
be the
it doesn't matter. That's right.
They don't understand. We are the sovereign. We are the government. We are the ones. It's not supposed to be these elitists in public office. They're supposed to be representing us to facilitate our ownership of our country. That's what they're supposed to be, facilitators, mm-hmm. not dictators and not crooks and whatever else you want to put out there. They've corrupted the system.
Right. And the rewards that they get don't go in their pocket. It doesn't belong to them. It belongs to the American people. Why on earth are we in any debt at all when we have more natural resources than any other country in the world? Why are we in debt? We're in debt because there are a bunch of crooks, and all they are waiting is for the next generation that doesn't know the Constitution and believes that the government controls everything so that they can gain control of all of these minerals and natural resources and then sell it just like they did Uranium 1.
666. It really is. And,
yes,
I mean, it's all these pieces together. It's the evilness of it all, the greed. Greed is definitely the root of all evil, between greed and power, take your pick, of these people willing to sacrifice us for their own selfish needs. What was it that Glenn Beck was just saying something to the effect? And it comes from the song God Bless America, or America the Beautiful. God Bless America, or America the Beautiful. Ultimately, the question was, do these people who represent, who are supposed to represent, do they care more about the country or do they care more about themselves? That's not the exact quote, but that was the gist of what he was saying. And then when I look at at least 95%, I'm going to throw 95% out there, 95% of the people that I see in public office today care more about themselves and keeping their job than they do doing what's right for this country. Maybe it's a little less than that, but we know. The ones that have been in there for decades and decades, they're not there for this country. They're not there because they care about us. They're there to keep their power and their money streams coming and facilitate a global new world order, if that's going to be the case, whatever. That's what they're there for. They're not there because they care about this country. And while there's many things that I disagree with what Trump has done, many things he did great, there's deep down I still believe he cares about this country. I do believe he truly believes in America first. I do believe he was the one who just derailed so much of what they were trying to do. And that's why had the Great Awakening, wake up the sleepy giant or whatever, some whatever expression you might want to use, because when he came in, he derailed their program. And then we're going to talk about that a lot next week, because when I talk about COVID, we've got to talk about what the program was, what the plan was with Hillary in 2016, how he derailed that, and he was going to derail it for another 4 years, and they couldn't let that happen. So it's all part of the same thing. But there's definitely things that I have to ask when it comes to Trump and the COVID situation and why he would have Elaine Chao be the Secretary of Transportation, his alliance, what his alliance with Mitch McConnell is a little bit on the shaky side to me. Some very weird things that he did out of being naive as to what was going on around him on some of this stuff, I don't know. But he's definitely done some very strange things. But deep down, I still believe he believes in this country and wants to save it. He wants to save America. He wants to restore it. He wants to be a part of that. He believes in America first. And we were doing so much better. We were energy deficient. Even after all this COVID stuff, had he been reelected, and deep down I think he was reelected, we won't get into the corruption of the election, the bogus president we have in there now, our illegitimate president, had he been there, we would have already turned around so much of this country already. Well, there's so much of this stuff would not be going on, and, of course, we wouldn't be dealing with Taiwan. We wouldn't have had the Afghanistan mess, and in all likelihood wouldn't have the Ukraine stuff. So we would be on such a road to recovery right now, we probably would have been almost back to where we were when the COVID insanity started, in my own opinion, had he still been in there. And that's why they had to make sure they took him down, by whatever means they had to. They had to make sure he was not in there. And we have a very, as far as I'm concerned, an illegitimate president. I don't believe for a minute Biden is the legitimate president. I don't think he was elected, honestly. And we will have a show in a couple of weeks talking about election integrity altogether, because we really need to talk about what's happened to our electoral system for a long time, because this isn't something that just happened here. It's been happening little by little. But, again, call Trump was the bull in the china shop routine. He came in and just he shook the boat. He rocked the boat. Everything went chaotic, whatever, because he was not following their establishment plan. So it's all part of this. And now that because he was making all these changes and this push, it totally wrecked the plan for their global reset, the New World Order, all these other things. And then they had to do this COVID stuff. It puts all these other things in place for what Biden is doing or whoever is doing, because we know Biden probably doesn't have a clue what he's doing. His brain is not in the best of shape. With or without COVID, he wasn't doing too good. So who's really running the country? You got me. But that's why just a couple of quick things here, and then we dive into what the executive order really is and then these emergency powers thing. Now, I went ahead. I was looking through the Constitution, and I did some other research, like where does it define specifically executive powers? And it really doesn't. I mean, it's out there. Well, first off, the president always takes the oath, right? I do solemnly swear and affirm I will faithfully execute the office of the President of the United States and will do the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. Okay. He's supposed to honor and follow the Constitution of the United States, he or she. Okay, that's first. Now we go into this executive power place. What does that mean? What powers does he have to do this? This is Article 2, Section 1. The executive power shall be vested in a president of the United States of America. It says executive power. Doesn't say executive order. Executive power. Then there's various things on there, but the other key points, these are the statements I found that are the ones that sort of say what executive orders are. He shall take care that the laws be faithfully executed. And the whole idea of these executive orders is to, especially when Congress isn't around, because at one point Congress actually did go home. Seems like they live there most of the time anymore. For him to go and whoever the president is, go out there and initiate an executive order to ensure something is done. You could use the border as a perfect example. Wait a minute, we don't have enough resources to faithfully execute the law and secure the border and hold up the Constitution and all that good stuff. So an executive order is written to provide additional resources to go to the border. That would be a legitimate executive order. Going out there and creating an executive order for abortions to ensure abortion places are available, that's not a valid executive order. It's nothing to do with the existing law. For him to go out there and dictate what states can do, that's bogus. That's what a dictator would do to try to control things and, of course, try to score some points on their one side. And then the other, just another good example is what he's done with that border, using executive orders to go out there and allow these people to come in and to not have to follow the process rules, not to be deported, to go out there and be putting these people all, spreading them all across the country and all this other stuff. These are not valid executive orders. This is what I call treason. I mean, the abortion one, whether you want to call that one treason, as much as it's just not a valid executive order. To me, that doesn't hold water on that one. But when it comes to using executive orders to aid your enemies to take over, I think that's treason. So there's that piece on the executive order. And then, you know, in a few minutes we can talk a little bit more about the, and I've given some links out there, so you can go out there and see all the executive orders from other presidents and all this kind of stuff. I did give you some links to see some of this information. And then after that, we can talk a little bit more of the Emergency Powers Act, which that's a doozy. The main thing I'll say about this Emergency Powers Act at this point, and I have the copy of it here, legal mumbo-jumbo. This is why you're not supposed to have attorneys in public office. It's the way they word this stuff. But technically, when he's allowed to declare an emergency, gives him very wide powers. I mean, you talk about widespread powers, enormous powers to do a lot of things and to control the people, it's whatever. It can do a lot of things, evilness. It shouldn't be allowed to happen. They need to definitely reform this Emergency Powers Act. However, in the meantime, it is in there. One, they are to terminate automatically every year unless the president would go in and say, we need to extend this emergency. So they technically have to be extended, so it's only for a year at a time. Of course, a year for what he's doing on this climate nonsense could be deadly. But more importantly is Congress does have the right, both houses have to agree to terminate the declaration of emergency declaration. So they have the right too. So there are some controls in there, but not as much as I think there needs to be on this craziness. But we'll talk more about the emergency powers thing and what he's trying to do with this climate change after we talk about these executive orders. The executive orders to me are just so disgusting. So I'm going to kind of hand it over based on some of that, fill in some of the gaps of what I was saying. If you want to discuss any of the specific executive orders he's done, that would be great too. So what say you, Karen, on that one?
Well, I happen to agree with you. Our elected officials at this moment either have no knowledge or no backbone. And I think it's a combination of both. I think that their education on the Constitution and the way that it works and knowing the Federalist Papers, knowing the way our founders were thinking is not something that they can think about. They don't care. They are not following a constitution. They are not following anything except what they want. And his latest stunt is now going to be to give IDs to all of the illegals. And once that happens, they'll be voting, which is what this is all about. We all know that. So he is abusing the executive orders. What I don't understand, for example, if the United States signs a good faith contract with a country under one president, why was it not fought in court that the Keystone Pipeline was a valid contract? Forget about oil and blah, 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 and everything else. This is a contract that the United States signed with a Canadian enterprise to do whatever. I don't care whatever. I'm interested in the contract. Does a new president have the right to come in and void a contract without regard to how much money, how much time, how much effort has already gone into that? It's the same thing as with the wall. The money was allocated. Did Biden have a right to stop it and reallocate it? Then what that means is that there are no contracts in America that anybody can say, I can count on it because it's in writing. This doesn't seem to matter anymore. And that is very scary, because if you can't have a valid contract, then how can you get along with others, purchase, do anything? Because every transaction, you are counting on whatever it is that you're buying to be whatever it is that you're buying. I mean, you buy something and you get something else, you send it back and get what you need. But this is not that. This says, it doesn't matter. You can't send it back. I don't care what I sent you. You have to keep it. And by canceling these contracts, aren't we doing the same thing? And that's where the executive orders come from. He's not supposed to be writing, no president, not just Biden. It doesn't matter which president it is. As you read, it's very explicit. It says that the president has the right to issue an executive order of how to implement legislation that the legislators, we the people, told them they want implemented. They're not supposed to think and put together this and put together that. That's not the way this is supposed to work. This is supposed to be, we're the states, we're going to do what we want in our own state, and all you have to do is take care of national security, the border, and make sure that we're protected, we don't want you for anything else. That's really what this is supposed to be. And the binding contract is the Constitution. So now we know they don't value a contract, so they're certainly never going to value the Constitution. And until we understand that and really know who this enemy is, that wasn't that what Sun Tzu said, know your enemy. Who is our enemy? Who is the enemy? That's, you know, that's basic. And until we can say that, yes, we are fighting you. Do you think Joe Manchin in this latest bill, and I know we're talking about executive orders, but he's following the executive orders also. Do you think he cared? He held it up for a reason. He wanted to get something. He got what he wanted, whatever it was. That's the way they are working our politics. I don't care what Joe Manchin wanted. I don't care what Joe Manchin got. That's not what the point was here. The point was here, does this bill benefit the American people? And the answer is no. Does this executive order follow the Constitution and the desires, the wishes of the American people who are supposed to be in charge of this government? Well, I don't think the executive order on abortion is following what the American people want.
Don't think it's following the Constitution either.
I didn't find abortion in the Constitution, did you?
I didn't see it.
I must have missed that chapter.
No, it exactly. And that's the sad part. People don't understand the fact the abortion is not in the Constitution. It goes to the state. It's the state's rights to handle it the way they want to. And those who don't like it, go ahead, go out there and try to amend the Constitution. Making laws that violate the Constitution is not allowed either. People don't understand that one either. So they're not allowed to go do that like they're trying to do with the guns. You know, it's just, it's all these different pieces. Like, come on, people, wake up and smell the stuff that we're being served here that is destroying this country. We are under attack. This country, we continue without making changes. There's not going to be a United States of America, at least it's not going to be as it is today. There's some of us, and I tend to think it may end up being split off, or a few of the United States still lasts when the rest go into a communist mode or whatever kind of thing. That could actually possibly happen too. But right now, we are on a massive attack in a lot of different areas. And so much of it is because of the enemies from within. Now, some of them were probably naive idiots, fools, whatever, uneducated, whatever. When they said, well, sure, let China buy that land. What the heck? I mean, I guess I would really like to know more about when they say this is okay. Who okayed these deals? It's okay for communist China to control your food supply? So what kind of deal did China give you? How much did they help you with your funding of your campaign? What else is going on there that would let you say, ah, sure, it's okay. They're never going to hurt us. They would never kill us, right? I mean, where are these people's heads? Where have they stuck their heads and, you know, whatever?
Right. Oh, and your comment about Mitch McConnell was right on also. I believe that Trump allowed and backed McConnell because McConnell was going to approve all of the judges. And part of that deal was probably to give Elaine Chao Secretary of Transportation because her daddy is the equivalent of Vice President Secretary of Transportation in China and owns a shipping company, which surprisingly enough gets a lot of business from the federal government. Oh, my goodness, how did that happen? So I think Trump walked into a swamp, and I mean worse than a swamp. I don't think he thought how bad it was. And also, let's remember Paul Ryan. He stopped everything for 2 years. Instead of enjoying the majority that we had, everything that Trump tried to do, he tried to stop. And I just remembered, Sally, guess where his new job is?
Oh, yeah. Isn't that something?
He is he's on the board of directors of Fox News that all of a sudden doesn't want to have Trump on the air. Oh, my goodness. Do you think there might be a connection there?
Oh, come on. You don't believe in coincidences, do you?
No.
It's just a coincidence.
It just must be a coincidence. But anyway, I started looking at something that I wanted to share with you because and the audience, because you can't, unless we understand what these people believe, it's hard to fight them because we constantly fall into the trap of that they're really like us and just misguided, but they're not. And what they are taught and what they believe is horrifying. So I would like to, if we have time later on, share what I found and some of the theories that I think are guiding their decisions.
Okay. Well, let's go a little bit more into the executive orders. I mean, again, you go out there and look at the list. I don't know if you have any of them specific. You know, you talked about a couple of them there. But the whole point is the way the executive orders are allowed, and there's nothing in the Constitution that specifically says executive orders. Executive orders to be used to do this. It's not written in such a way. And the intent is for them to be, to truly, in a sense, be like a law, but it's only to implement the existing. It cannot violate congressional laws that have already been passed, and it cannot violate the Constitution. It's supposed to be in support of the laws and the Constitution. That's what the executive orders are supposed to do, because I think most reasonable people can agree that you can't cover, things will happen. Things will come up, and you need to be able to address them. Excuse me, the president would need to be able to address them. And you just can't possibly come up with every scenario. And then if Congress is all spread out across the country because they have to go campaign, spend more time campaigning than anything else, and then the president needs to make a decision, hey, we need to do something, or there's been some kind of an attack, whatever. I mean, there are reasons for executive orders, valid, true reasons for executive orders, but they've been abused, and there has to be controls in place. And there has to be accountability. If you're going to do this, if you're going to use executive orders to give people voting rights, that's unconstitutional. If you're going to give executive orders to give abortions, that's unconstitutional. It's not right. It's the wrong thing. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask you, where are the people that are taking these to court and saying this is not constitutional? Where is the screaming of the people? That's what's missing, and I believe that that's because the people have become so, I don't know what, normalized into accepting horrific things as, oh, it's just another thing or one of those crazy things that those idiots are going to do. So rather than doing something overtly to do it, that's what they do. They crawl in their little shell and say, I'll get up in a couple of weeks when they stop talking about this insanity, instead of doing something and challenging them. We're not challenging them.
Well, definitely. And at the same time, Congress isn't doing it either. And that's where I guess one of my questions comes up with. Congress keeps surrendering the rights, which is that Emergency Power Act, was surrendering their rights and what they were supposed to do to the presidency. So when Congress is giving their rights away, their power and control to the presidency, they are too aiding in creating a dictator versus a president. Why? And it's like, excuse me, that's where I said, why are you giving up your powers? Oh, because you don't want to be responsible. So, because when you're running for re-election, you don't want to take the blame for a bad decision or no decision, whatever you may have done. I mean, that's my take on this stuff in many ways. There were probably, when some of this stuff happens, there probably had been some incident that said, well, wait a minute, we really need to kind of fix this. I don't like what they did with the Patriot Act. which we know what that really means, that something happened and said, well, we really need to make sure the commander-in-chief can do certain things. So then, and this comes down, I think it even impacts some of the war declarations and stuff. Congress is supposed to be the one that declares the wars, but they keep letting things go over to the presidency, and it's because they don't want to take the flack if it's not popular with their constituents or something. It seems like they want all the glory but no responsibility. They don't want to do the dirty work, and they don't belong there. They just want to get reelected, so they're gonna play every kind of game you can imagine. I mean, that's just my take on this stuff. And so, you know, with that on the executive orders and kind of wrap up and start going into the emergency powers piece, but any other, you know, what is your take on that as well? To me, that's their excuse. Escape.
On the executive powers, we have to challenge them. I agree with you, and this is our biggest problem, is we're not challenging enough.
Well, are they ignorant? Yeah, well, are the congressional representatives ignorant, or they just want the power? They want to play nice. They want to play nice.
I thought they were, too, until I started learning what they learned. And then I realized they're not ignorant. This is exactly what they want. This is the result they're striving for.
Yeah.
And it's nauseating, but it's what they're being taught. And until we understand that, we think they're the same as us, and they read the same Constitution. They read the Constitution, and they walk away with, this is a horrible document written by slave owners promoting slavery. They don't see anything else.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, we've got to challenge his executive orders. They're not valid. He's not valid. If he's not valid, then why would the things that he does be valid?
Yeah, and I guess to a certain degree, that's the other question when it comes to whoever gets in there. Assuming that we get the Republicans, we know the Democrats wouldn't do it, and we can force them. They obviously need to be addressing what happened in this election to prevent that from happening, from a legal and possibly constitutional amendment, whatever, to clean up that process. But that would be, this is Congress giving up their rights, surrendering, just handing over their powers because they don't want to be responsible. They're playing a game out there, and then they're giving all these extra powers to the president who isn't entitled to them, who is abusing them to the detriment, to the destruction of this country. So that's that piece of it. And anybody that's out there listening, if you've got information on these Powers Act, the Executive Orders or the Emergency Powers Act, feel free to share it. If we're stating something you think is incorrect, you're more than welcome to share that point of view. But this is the way, based on what I'm reading out there, and I just think it's abusive. It's a way to be a dictator, to create your own laws, bypass and circumvent the process. And yes, there are certain times when it's a valid thing to do. There's many other times when it's not. It gets abused. And then when it comes to this Emergency Powers Act, which, what year was that thing passed in? Put the date on here someplace. 1976 was when this was passed. And I'm trying to go back and remember what happened around that time where they felt the need to come up with this Emergency Powers Act and to define powers for the presidency and all this other stuff. That part I can't totally justify why they did this. I'm trying to figure out what was the logic of doing this when they do have executive orders that they can do to address specific things. What really defines a national emergency? Now, and when we talk about a hurricane in a certain area, is that which Florida has seen enough, try Hurricane Michael, and of course the other one, I mean, Andrew, whatever, there's been plenty of natural disasters, emergencies. So is it really the federal government to say this is a national emergency because this happened in this area impacting these states along the coast? Is that what a national emergency is? I want to know how they're defining a national emergency. obviously, if we're being attacked, I think that would be a national emergency and something to defend us. But what would be some other legitimate national emergencies where the president would be given all these powers? Is climate change really a national emergency? Because that's what he's trying to do, as I understand it. And from the different things I've been hearing, it's like, well, it's almost like a threat. We're going to do this because of the heat, the record-breaking heat. That's BS. There's no legitimate proof of such a thing, because the same winter we had record lows. You didn't call it a national climate change emergency because we had record lows. So the insanity of this all. It's a game that's all being played on us, and to give these people powers. How is this a national emergency? What was it? I can't remember the years when we had the Dust Bowl that came through. I don't think that was declared a national emergency, but maybe I missed something. I don't believe the Emergency Powers Act was in place back then when that happened. So what is a national emergency that this you would grant these powers? And because to me they get abused, and then they never, once they create them, as I've heard in the past, which I'd have to do some additional research, it's like the president always just goes and renews them. Once it's out there forever. So how many national emergencies do we have active today? Lord only knows. But why would we have climate change? And what is this president really trying to do with this climate change thing? And is he going to try to do something right before the election to try to cause chaos there? Are they going to try to have a COVID outbreak, which creates a national emergency? Was COVID really a national emergency? I don't think so. We could probably, we'll talk some about that next week. Was it really? So what is a true national emergency? And what are the games really going on? Is climate change truly a national emergency? And what happens if he goes and does this? What really, how does this make him, give him powers to control this whole society? And what is the Congress going to do? Well, we know if it's the current Congress, they're not going to do much of anything except support him if he does it now. If he waits until after the election and plays some kind of game there, what's the point? It's just so insane. And what was the real justification for this National Emergency Act, Powers Act, to begin with? With all that being said, what's your thinking? What do you know on the history of this crazy thing?
Well, I know that it gets enacted at different times by different presidents, and I believe for different reasons. Nixon enacted it in the 70s because of inflation. I think Carter enacted it because of the gas. So it's a neat way for a president to be a dictator. And I believe that that's what Biden does, because he abuses it to become the dictator. And nothing was more evident of that than COVID, dictating about what schools could do, dictating, and then threatening afterwards. For example, the LGBTQ. He now told the Department of Education he's going to withhold money for lunch unless the school accepts a transgender bathroom, because this is an emergency. So apparently an emergency is whatever is in the president's head, or I should say in Obama's head, because I believe that's who's running the show. And this just gives the president powers that can be enforced outside the Constitution. And that's why I believe they have to call January 6th an insurrection, because an insurrection is a legal term which is defined in the Constitution. And if they just called it a riot, you know, it's up to the D.C. police. So they had to use insurrection so that Joe Biden can go after the, quote, insurrection legally. So it can be used in a variety of ways to make the agenda of the president come true. And part of that, I believe, is because we have become so morally bankrupt that, oh, it doesn't matter if Biden does an executive order that puts 50,000 people out of work. What does he care? Or as, Pete Buttigieg says, well, gas prices, that we should have an electric car. The people are very out of touch, and then they use their emergency powers to push their agenda, which is not what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to be using their emergency powers to clear an emergency. Wouldn't that be refreshing?
Hey, yeah.
So when they declare a state of emergency, that's basically what they're doing, is saying, I'm going to have extraordinary powers and I can do whatever I want because I'm the man. I'm the president. I'm the governor. I'm whoever. So it bypasses the Constitution. Do you remember when Janet Reno drew, or wait, I can't remember whether it was Reno or Napolitano. Now I can't remember which one did it. But they drew a border around America and said 100 miles from the border is going to be a Constitution-free zone because it's a national emergency. And we're being invaded.
I think that was Napolitano, I think. She was really nuts.
Yes.
They were both kind of nuts, but I think she was after Reno, and I think things got crazier. Little by little, things keep getting crazier.
Yeah, I agree, and that's how it all, it one leads to the next, which leads to the next, and what they're doing is how they get communism and fascism in, because they're bypassing the Constitution and nobody's telling them not to do it.
And that is the ultimate of it. And so, again, if the Republicans take over both these houses and he puts some crazy emergency powers act or declaration out there, are these Republicans going to have the backbone to go out there and shut it down? Because they do have the right. Based on what I was reading, with both houses, mm-hmm. they can come together and terminate any Emergency Powers Act.
Yes, and they could. They have a lot of power should we be smart enough to win the House and win the Senate with a more than 60-member majority of senators who are actually Americans and not globalists. So if we're able to do that, then we have the ability to eliminate a lot of the things that he has done and is doing, and hopefully eliminate him and put him in jail, which is where he belongs.
Yes. Well, I see, looks like Joe wants to chime in here. I hope I have the right person. Joe? Let's see.
Yes, it's me. It's your, not your worst nightmare, it's your best nightmare. Hello, Sally.
Hey, Joe, how you doing?
Okay. You know what?
Well,
I keep looking for your program, and I keep thinking it's on a Tuesday. I'm going to have to mark it down that you're on Mondays, and I think you're on at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Am I right?
That's correct. Now, I used to have it on Thursdays. So that's probably what's messing you up. So somehow you came up with Tuesday, something in between. I'm not sure, but
that's right. I just,
but it was on Thursday, but I switched over to Monday.
I know. And I made a comparison to a numerical thing. It's in between Thursdays and Mondays, like one, like, you know, between 1 and 5. So I'll pick a 3. You know.
Okay. Now there is a way. Let me tell you this, and I'll let others know this too. When you go to the show page for the American Statesman show on blogtalkradio.com, there's a little button that says, click here to get reminders. So there's a little thing you can click to follow, and then it'll give you an email notification. Show's going to start in 4 hours or whatever it is, something like that. So that might help you.
That's an idea. But I don't know if a lot of other people know that about their shows or about, or even if the listeners know about it, their favorite shows. But that's a good idea so that people will get the reminders. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. With all of that being said, what are you thinking about these crazy executive orders and emergency powers and all this stuff? What are you thinking?
Well, I just got here, so I wasn't really privy to the conversation that you two have had, except for about maybe 10 seconds. But, of course, I don't have to in order to know what's happening. But the thing is that, of course, Biden and executive order is like oil and water. So you know they're not going to mix. I don't care what the executive order is. It's going to be injurious to the prosperity of the United States and to the safety of the American people. What did he do? Did he sign like 53 in 60 days?
He went out there and did his best to totally derail anything Trump had put in place. So, yeah, I remember that one day. I thought it was like 30 or something. He's sitting at this desk, and there's just this big old stack, and he's just rubber stamping everything and whatever else. It was all so ridiculous. But and this all comes to, and I do see we have another caller out there now, so I'm going to give you a few minutes, and we'll go to the other caller. The whole point is, the intent of what we were discussing is what's the true intent of executive orders, and how what is being done today is very abusive, and Congress does nothing to stop it, because it's not supposed to be a means to make law. That's not what executive orders are. It's supposed to facilitate the enforcement of existing laws. It's not the president is supposed to uphold the Constitution and execute the laws faithfully. That's what the job is, and they use these executive orders to play games. The other part of the discussion was the Emergency Powers Act, where they go and do these things to control, to allow crazy things like the COVID election games that went on, and letting a variety of things, obviously. There's multiple things we were just talking about on how they abuse a declaration of emergency. And the Emergency Powers Act, which was back in 76, gives all these powers. It creates a dictator. No longer, once they've done this stuff, they're no longer a president. They're a dictator, and they're allowed to go and abuse, violate the Constitution every which way you can imagine. And Congress is going along with this, so Congress is derelict as well. It's so unconstitutional. So, but we have to have this. We have to keep forcing the issue. Hopefully, getting some America First representatives in there. I'm not saying Republicans per se. I'm saying America First.
Hell no.
people in there, yeah, to actually do something to address these problems, to shut down the dictator, which includes shutting down a lot of these public-private partnerships and the ESG stuff we were talking about earlier, too. These are all different means to give too much power to one person. It was never the intent. Does anybody truly think the founding fathers had the intent to create a king or a dictator? I mean, that wasn't their intent at all. This Constitution was supposed to be totally opposite of that, but yet they've manipulated it in so many ways. In Congress, they do whatever they want to do to play their own games, to play their own power act kind of stuff. Yeah. So that's kind of where we're at with it. And if you want to chime in, and then we can go to this other caller. Any other thoughts
all
you
right.
want to share?
Yeah, with regards to executive orders, from what I've read, the president, at the beginning, was only supposed to make an executive order, a comment on whatever law was being, or whatever bill was going to be passed and or law that he signed, a comment, whether or not he liked it. That's the executive order. They took the wording executive order, and they just transmuted it into a de facto law providing function that they gave to the president. And you're right, Congress doesn't do anything about it. So, of course, they're delegating their duties, and they're, they're co-conspirators as well. When you said that the founding fathers didn't intend to have a dictator or a monarchy or a dictatorship or a king, some of them did. There was a big fight about that. They wanted to make George Washington the king. He declined, from what I've read. And what was it, the Federalists versus the Madisonians, Jeffersonians versus the Madisonians? There was a big brouhaha. That might even have been one of the causes between Burr and Hamilton, why they had that duel, from what I've read, or from what my memory tells me of what I've read. So, yeah, I mean, look, The Constitution, I love the fact that a republic exists, because if you have a democracy, then always the minority loses. 51% of the majority outweighs the minority, even if the minority has the common sense and the intellect and the education. So I like a republic in which the laws are made for all of the people. But Article 1, Section 8 gives too much power to the Congress for them to do just about anything they want, including bypassing or bastardizing or destroying the Constitution. By the time anybody figures it out and presents it to the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court says, yeah, you can go ahead and do it, because guess what? I'm in the pockets of the lobbyists myself. So, yeah, it's up to us, the people, but that's not a good choice either, since most people, in my opinion, especially politically, are as dumb as hell. So that's my soliloquy, and you can get to the other caller now if you want, Sally.
Okay, hold that thought. it's ignorance is not bliss. I will definitely say that. Knowledge is power. Ignorance is not bliss. And we do have the dumbing down of America has been extremely extremely successful. Okay, 4083, can you hear us? And can you give us your first name, please?
Yes, I can hear you just fine. This is Joe from North Carolina. I was listening, and you were talking about the executive orders and everything. And one of the executive orders that was going to be handed down with the mandates of vaccinating the military, and that was something big that we were working here. At least I got together over the past couple months with some people in the military and other groups and whatnot. And, for instance, we had spoken with the United States Air Force Colonel, Lieutenant Colonel, and to oppose the jabs, the force jabs, and they were going to kick all these people out of the military if they didn't receive the vaccine. And this was an ongoing battle. But I'll tell you now, basically, behind the scenes, what was going to happen, and I can very easily give you evidence of it, but we don't need to go there. Just take my word for it. Behind the scenes, basically, a lot of military people and leaders of the military, there was going to be a very serious problem in this country within the next few weeks if that judge ruled the other way, the federal judge ruled the other way and did not go against Biden wanting to mandate the military personnel having that vaccination. So so thank God that we were able to get that through and get a permanent order now on that you know, there's you don't have to be vaccinated in the military, because they were going to kick out 40,000 National Guard one day, and they were just going to really clean out the military that refused to get this vaccination. So I know there was – I'm not going to mention a couple other people. Well, I can mention his name, General Paul Vallée. He was involved and instrumental in it. And there was other people that in the military also that were working behind the scenes letting them know, hey, you know, if this goes the other way, there's – you know, we were on the brink of a lot of bad things happening, because there were plans in motion to this administration was going down. I'm going to tell you that right now. It's a de facto criminal administration. They are in contempt of Constitution hundreds of times over. Their neglect of their duty. I mean, they have not obeyed anything that they're supposed to do with their job description, what it entitles, or what they're supposed to represent the people in doing. Even if they do it against the disagreement of what the people believe, they're null and void. It's a de facto criminal administration in D.C. right now. And this is the tip of the iceberg, where people are fed up, and a lot of people are starting, whether they're not going Republican, Democrat, a lot of people are blaming both parties, and a lot of this has got to be fixed. And we are, and I've been involved with a group now. I also ran for office here in North Carolina recently. But I've been involved with a group now, and several other groups are joining in around the country, where we're putting together the assemblies and the people, and probably going to formulate grand jury system again, and basically lawfully try to re-inhabit the republic of this country, because it has to be done. We cannot continue down the road we're going. We cannot. I don't care who's crying about it, who thinks they're entitled to something, or who wasn't at the table during the Constitution when it was written, or whatever. We don't want to hear it. Everybody gets a chance now to come to the table and work with everybody. We got too many chiefs out there, not enough Indians. We need everybody to do their part and equally share and restore this republic. And I'll leave it at that right there. For now, if you want to ask me some questions, or if you want to conversate.
Oh, sure. I got a couple of questions, and probably Karen does too, and maybe even Joe, but the other Joe. it's true. It is so true. I can't agree with you more, but do you want to mention the groups that you're working with, or do you want to talk anything about the run for office? It's up to you.
Joe, I think, knows who I am. I ran for an office here in North Carolina, District 65. As a Republican, but I'm more or less a constitutional guy. I believe in the Constitution Party. I believe I'm more or less, I guess you could say, really, I don't know, how would I address, I don't know. I don't like putting labels on or on things anyway. I'm for the people, all the people, and for the common good and commonwealth of all the people, and that's
America
what we
first.
Have to do. Yeah. Well, not even in America. The people first. The people. Rich,
right.
Poor, whatever, middle class, whatever you want to call them. Everybody. Black, white, everybody. It doesn't matter. We're all in this together, and we have to do and create policy that is for the common good and betterment that's going to help the country, not what's best for me or my special interest groups or my lobbyists.
Yeah, let me give a little background on Joe Gibson here. Remember, Sally, when you had on that particular candidate who was running for, what was it, governor or senator? Remember?
I believe he was running for a representative. It was Steve Chess, I think it was.
Yeah. And I grilled him a little bit. And I told you at the time that you were about the only host on Blog Talk Radio that allowed even that minor type of grilling. And he didn't really wilt, but he didn't really have a plan. Well, I had the opportunity to grill Joe Gibson here on another show, and I'm talking about grilling, asking him questions, getting skin in the game, making commitments of what he would do in the first week, plus not just a campaign promise, yeah, I'm going to do this, sure I will, you know, I'm all for the people, blah, 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 blah. But he also was very, very up for having himself recalled within a week or two, if he didn't fulfill those particular promises that I wanted to keep. So, yeah, this is Joe Gibson. He has a show on Block Talk Radio as well. He's running for office. And he and I had a nice tete-a-tete back and forth with regards to what he's going to do and the way that I believe that all Americans should vet their candidates as opposed to voting for them because they have a nice head of hair like what's his face, Romney, or they're pretty, you know. So I would
or the lesser of two evils. You always hear that one, the lesser of two evils. You know, come on.
Yeah, so he sat down for that, and I just want to let you know that he's a person that is the kind of candidate that a lot of people, if you're for the people yourself, would enjoy listening to.
Well, excellent, and this is good, and hopefully you can call in next week because we're going to be talking about COVID and those vaccines. That's another thing that's going to be
cool.
Obviously the vaccines are a very big deal.
Yeah, I'll
so
put it down. I'll
note
it on the calendar.
Yeah, we're going to take a deep dive of what COVID really meant. I mean, I've got the show page out there, but I'll be putting some more details out there trying to let people know that that's the topic for next week. Because when it comes to the vaccinating these mandates, which aren't law, mandates are not law, but what the playing
right.
games, the executive orders, and trying to take away those most basic fundamental rights, what was the real intent of doing that? Because there's been so many challenges and problems with this vaccine. We know it wasn't because it was going to make the military safer. Now, anybody that knows Bill Gates will know that Bill Gates wanted to depopulate, so go ahead and ruin the fertility of all the young people out there in the military. What a way to do that. But how can a president justify doing something like that with all the truth, the real truth of what's going on with this vaccine to begin with? What was the real intent of mandating it? So if you want to chime in on that, and then I'll have Karen ask if she has any questions for you.
Yeah, well, the I don't think this president knows where he is or what his agenda is. I think it's the people behind him pulling his strings. Everything you just said, what is true, basically, they have an agenda, obviously. Well, look, we can get into this, where it was created, what the vaccine does. We know it's not healthy. We know that. It has so many side effects. Do some people successfully take it without a problem? Sure. Do a lot of people get sick after taking it and even die? Sure. So like you said, it's not a law, this mandate thing. So therefore, how are you going to justify demanding that the military take this or they lose everything and are thrown out and discharged? And these people have dedicated their lives. I mean, and some have served in other wars, Afghanistan, Iraq, Desert Storm, what have you, that have been longtime careers, and they were going to be removed from the military, discharged? No way. We were not going for that. We were not, and that was not going to happen. And most of the American public, I believe, would have been behind us if something was to go down. Thankfully, it didn't. But we got more on our horizon here that's coming our way, and like you were talking about at the beginning of the show. So these executive orders and this administration, but the midterms come up. What happens if they don't get their way in the midterms, the liberal agenda or the globalist agenda, they don't get their way? What's going to happen? What are the next 2 years going to be like? So we have to be prepared and ready.
Exactly. And there is a whole other discussion we could have. Maybe we'll have it for another show where there's been times when, you know, the question has come. Now, as a person of the military, you take an oath to uphold that Constitution, too. Now, it seems like our military people read the Constitution a little bit different than the nutcases in the swamp cesspool up there kind of thing. So there has been the question, and this was kind of going around when the election stuff, all that stuff was happening during the election. Has our military been, I'll use the expression thinned down or watered down from the Obama administration and this other stuff where they would follow this commander-in-chief who said, attack the American people, whatever, something I'm just saying as an example, or would they defend that Constitution and protect the people against the craziness of this president? You know what I'm saying there? Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it does. Would they obey an unlawful order? You know, and they have a duty to disobey an unlawful order. That's their duty and their job. Now, some people will say, no, they have to obey the order, then ask questions later. No. They disobey the order, and then through the court-martial, through that process, then the truth would come out. But you have to remember the military is in, you know, they're serving somewhere overseas, so they're out of touch with the community or the people. And a lot of people that are in the military that I've spoken to over the years, and I myself, who when I was with them, we're looking for the people. The people have to rise up, and they have to do it. It's up to the people to say, hey, you know, you have to do your job at the ballot box. You have to, or you know, if there's corruption going on, you have to do your job to weed out that corruption. The military, I cannot find anything. I don't know if the other individuals on the line here, if anybody out there can find anything where the people have the right to call upon Terry for assistance and a tyrannical government, you know, to unseat a tyrannical government. I don't see where there's any law or anything in the Constitution or anything in history where the people can call upon the military. I just don't see. So the military then is under the government and the commander-in-chief, which would be Biden's the jurisdiction, I guess you could say. Or so, you know, we have to be careful. You know, I mean, can the military intervene? Can they? You know, unless it's directly affecting them, yeah. And that's where the door was opening, where it was with the mandates.
Well, and I'll put one thought out there. Then we'll get Karen in there because she may have. I'm sure she has some info on this as well. What was going on in Texas, or the legal right to defend? If the federal government is not defending and blocking or stopping an invasion, the states do have the right. And that's the beauty of the 10th Amendment, a sovereign nation of many sovereign states. Sovereign states have the right to defend. And they have the right to have their militias, and Florida was reenacting or reactivating the National Guard, the Florida Guard versus the National Guard kind of thing. So the states do have certain powers that way, and that's what Texas what they were trying to get Governor Abbott to do, but I don't think he ever did truly initiate that full invasion, right? Karen, what's your take on that? And if you have any questions for Joe.
Okay. Use for Governor Abbott, and if they wanted the immigration to work any way other than the way it's working, they would fix it. They don't want it fixed. To them, this is working exactly what they are doing. This is the Cloward and Piven method of overwhelm the system, and if you do that, it will collapse. These people have been trained in philosophies that are so foreign to us that we can't imagine that they're doing it. One of the philosophers that, or economists in quotes, name was Thomas Malthus. And he believed without controls, the population is going to supersede the food supply, and therefore natural disasters or man-made disasters or all kinds of things that happen that thin the herd are perfectly okay because there's too many people, too much population. Who else believes that now? That was in the 1800s. Who believes that? Bill Gates, the World Economic Forum, our administration, all of them. And they also believe that they do a combination of Marx, so they feed the people that you're enslaved when they're going to make them worse enslaved, and they focus on the Keynesian economics, so they're taking this depopulation, and now they're going to impose upon it Keynesian economics, which says if you want to get out of an inflationary period, then the government has to spend money. The government has to be the employment arm. The government has to have this, the government. So you take the one and then you put it with the other. And then what else do they learn? Well, they learn the Hegelian dialectic. If you say it enough, the people will believe it. And then you can create chaos, which they're creating. So first, they had to defund the police. That was number one. Then they had to figure out how to purge the military of all of the, quote, non-believers, which are the Christians and the MAGA people, the people that believe in America. They had to get rid of them. So this mandate was a perfect way to do that. Now, remember what Obama said. Obama said he wanted to have a military that was answerable to him because our military is technically not allowed to be or go after any American citizen. They are strictly supposed to be for overseas. It's the National Guard that is supposed to be activated to protect domestic things. So Joe has a problem. I can't get the military, but if you get a military that doesn't know the Constitution and you get rid of enough people, then you can have a military. So where are these people coming from? Well, listen to who's coming over the border. All the reports that are coming in is that 2/3 of the people who are coming across the border are military-aged men. Maybe they're transgender, yep. I don't know. But that's
I do
want to
bet
they're
not transgender.
Well, right.
I do want to bet they know the difference between a man and a woman.
What are these people, they're prime, they're military men. We're going to need military. Oh, so we're going to have them
sign
up in eagles. Yes, they're going to have the illegal sign up, and today I read he's giving ID cards to all of them. So they will sign up, they'll have ID cards, they'll serve a couple of years, they'll then automatically become American Democrats. That's the whole idea of all of this. But now he by making it global, which is what they want, someone from the United Nations is not going to have a problem firing on a perpetrator if the perpetrator is an American. Somebody from another country is not going to have a problem firing on an American. But you tell a soldier who believes in America, go take out that guy because he's carrying the American flag, I really think the soldier would have a problem with that. But if the soldier was from another country, if he was from Iran, he wouldn't have a problem at all, would he?
And you think about it, when you say, real quick here, just when you say that, how many people have come over? We know they're coming over from all over the world. It's not like these are people coming from Central America or whatever else. These aren't people looking for a better job. That's not what's going on here. So, but you think about all those, how many of them, China and Iran and a few other enemies, are coming over and they're signing up. I mean, it's treason at its max. And going back to what Joe was asking, what is it that at what point, and I've been asking the question on this homeland, at what point do we have the right to defend ourselves? At what point, and I mean, Abbott's been so weak on this, he should have initiated that invasion thing, but at what point does the military at any level, the National Guard, whatever, when do we defend ourselves? Are we going to just sit here while they kill us and destroy us? Or at what point does our own military defend us? When you have such a corrupt, treasonous president, we're not going to, if we wait for Biden to do the right thing to protect our homeland, that's not going to happen because he's part of the problem. He's part of the initiative to allow this to all happen. We won't even get into all the family stuff and all the other mess that's going on there. How many ways could Biden be tried for treason and impeached on treason? With what he has done, what was that? You're probably talking to the dog. I don't know. I know Karen's dog sometimes when it joins the show. Was that Benny or Becky? Or the cat? Could be the cat too. It could be Jet. Anyway, but the point going back to, at what point does what gives our military the right to defend us? I think that's the key question that Joe was going to ask.
It would be the military could go and help, but the National Guard would be the one to defend. But it's not going to happen because of all of the corruption. It's not going to happen between now and January of 23. If we elect the right people, this is our redress of a government. This is the way person in charge has 2 years, really, for people to know what he's about. And then after that two-year cycle, they get frustrated and they pick a new Congress who is supposed to hold him in check. Now, will that happen according to what we're hearing? I certainly hope so. If Arizona should be lucky enough to elect Kerry Lake, you can bet that border will be closed. So you have to have the people working in conjunction with their state government because that's the government.
But the question on the table right now, Karen, though, as posed by Sally, is at what point will the military, because it's all going to boil down to what the military might do. So that's the question.
The military, if there becomes a vote of no confidence, which is an immediate impeachment of Biden, that's what should happen. That should be immediate, and then extracting all of his horrible things that he did, and of course from there he can be tried he can be tried criminally. If they don't impeach him immediately, nothing is going to happen for another 2 years, and we have a very good chance of losing the country, because if they get a little bit of power, these are the give me an inch and I'll take 5 miles. And I'll take you right on.
Well, then I'll answer that question after Karen finishes. Joe,
and the military is controlled by the executive branch, who is the commander-in-chief. And as long as you have a bunch of there's a diversified, I mean, just look at the military. It's so sad. It's pathetic.
Yeah.
And I'm not meaning men. I'm meaning the upper ranking echelons. I'm not meaning the soldiers. What I'm saying has nothing to do with
Millie. Millie, for example.
They're disgusting. And when will they? They will never turn on them because their whole plan is open borders, and they don't recognize. They don't recognize that they're doing anything wrong because they're on a course, and their course is to destroy America, and they don't care about anything else. So I don't know who we have on our side on the military. I was told by some of my friends that was Trump's problem after the election. He thought he had the military, and as it turned out, they were traitors, and he did not have them. And had he had the military, he was going to make the effort to prove the fraud immediately, but he didn't have the military. So who knows what's true, I don't know, but that was what I was told. And as long as their cabinet is beholden, generals are beholden to Biden in such a strong way, I don't see the military doing anything except going after the
people. That's true.
Because they're focusing on the domestic terrorists. They're focusing on us.
Yeah. Again, Joe, you said you were going to respond back to the other Joe, and then just so, Nathan, I do see you out there, we'll get you in here for a comment as well. But, Joe, you can go ahead. Joe, are you still there, or did you mute yourself?
Which Joe?
Joe.
Yeah.
You, Joe. I'll go after you.
You want to go after me? Okay. I wanted to hear what the other Joe was going to, you know, answer the question also, what authority does the military. So I would like to hear what he has to say, and then I'd like to respond, and I'll tell you what we're doing behind the scenes.
Okay. Now, this is my opinion. I'm not a legal scholar. But I think if one watches the 7 days in May, that might give you an idea with Burt Lancaster and Frederick Marshall, et cetera. The thing is that the military legally cannot do any kind of uprising, legally. I think by the Constitution, they're beholden to the president. The president is in charge of the military, every single one of them. If he tells a private, shine my shoes, he's going to have to shine the shoes. Now, morally, we need people in the military. Now, Karen was talking about how there were people who we throw around the side of Trump, and there were 19 retired generals who signed a letter together endorsing Trump. But at the same time, there were something like 21, 22, 25 admirals and generals who also signed a letter endorsing Biden. So there's a split there. Morally, we need, and physically, we need the military. People are always talking about, well, the people have got to rise up. Are you out of your mind? This is not the Civil War where the Confederacy south of the Mason-Dixon line had cannons in place, people trained at West Point, had colonels, generals, stockades, and forts all ready to protect the Confederacy. We have nobody here except the militia. And the militia, I'm pretty sure, is nothing more than a scattered bunch of people who want to protect America, but probably are not in communication with each other on a good basis, on an effective basis. And if the shit hits the fan, what are they going to do against the military? Huh? So if the people rise up, we'll be squashed in the streets. The people have to, and this is the hardest part, the people have to get rid of the people in Congress, which I think is the major cause of the cancer of corruption, through the court system. We do have honest judges who are coming down, who do block Biden's mandates, and who issue judgments that are very much in favor of the Constitution and the people. I'm surprised we even have as many as we do, or as few as we do, because the corruption isn't just bribing people. The cabal, the Illuminati I believe in, the New World Order I believe in, They're very, very capable of going to an honest person and saying, if you don't do what I want you to do, I will kill your grandkids. That person is going to be, yes, sir, because family comes first. And if they try to expose the Illuminati, their grandkids will get killed, and all of a sudden that general will end up in a car crash or a plane crash. So the short answer is, I would wish the military is on our side, but it will take very, very strong, moral generals and admirals who have a following to do the uprising for America. Because if we do it, and if the military is not on our side, you can guarantee we'll be squashed in a month at the most. But that's my opinion.
Okay. The other Joe, and again, Nathan, I do see you out there. And also, if we might be running just a few minutes over here, so if you're listening on the Internet, you may want to call in, because right at the top of the hour, the streaming on the Internet will be cut, but we can continue to talk for just a few minutes after, because I want to let Nathan have his chance to speak too. So please go ahead, Joe. Joe from North Carolina.
Yes. Well, what we're doing is behind the scenes, okay? For instance, tomorrow night's a good sample of it. And it's not just because it's my platform. We want everybody's platform involved. We want everyone to do their own individual thing. But tomorrow night, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we're working with the Republic of the United States.org. If you go there, that's already been recognized around the world. The papers have been served. It was a 10-year plan. It began in 2008. I'm not going to go into full detail because of time permitting. Of course, it's now 2022, so I'm not going to get into detail, like I said. But the Hague, the World Banks, everyone was put on notice. The papers have been filed internationally and with the reinhabitation of the Republic, okay? Now, many people may have heard about it. Some did, or they may have heard about it with the Restore America plan. It had no connection at the time with the Tea Party movement back then, no, but the Tea Party did try to get on board, and then they faded away. But what we're trying to do is, with many different groups within the military also, I'm not going to mention, like I said, any names right now, but more information will be given on each podcast on mine, and we're trying to get other podcasts, alternative media outlets involved, because that's the only way people are going to get the truth. We have to use the networking available to us right now and use their tools against them so that we can network and bring the people together. And we cannot have the bad actors, which there can only be one bad actor that can bring an entire group down. I've seen it happen over the years. So what we're doing is we're trying to re-inhabit lawfully the Republic. And what you were just talking about, judges, getting judges on board, sheriffs, very important to have sheriffs involved. I know Sheriff Mackey's involved also with this. So and about two dozen others that I've spoken to myself personally.
Cool.
What's that?
I said cool.
Yeah. So what we're trying to do is, like I said, is re-inhabit the Republic. And everyone can call in, and we want other platforms to join in also on different days, because you can only have so many people on a phone line. You know that. I know that. And so many people can listen in, and everybody wants to talk, and everyone starts talking over each other. But every Tuesday, the Republic, this is they explain it briefly in a very good way every single Tuesday, how they open up and who they are and what they stand for in each state. And we're doing this, like I said, lawfully through the Constitution. And if anybody wants to go to the Republic of the United States.org, that information is there. The resource library is there. All the documents are there. It's the history of how we got to where we're at right now and what we're doing to re-inhabit the Republic. And this is happening now behind the scenes and openly in alternative media and other networking capabilities that we have that are open to us that the New World Order thinks they're going to use to destroy us, but we're going to use it against them. So with that being said, I mean, I don't know what more I can answer, or if anyone's got a particular question they want to ask me. Like I said, tomorrow night you can go to blogtalkradio.com/Joseph Gibson or call in into the show, 657-383-0616, and interact with the Republic. And we have state troopers, retired military, active military, many people that are involved with this right now, and also militia groups. I'm glad you brought that up, militia groups. And there are several very large militia groups that are out there that are, you know, law-abiding people, that are good people, and they're not the racist terrorists that the Biden administration wants to make them out to be, or even during the Trump administration, like a lot of people want to make them out to be. So I don't see how they could be when they take everybody. It doesn't matter who you are, what background you are, as long as you're a law-abiding citizen. So, but, yeah, this is what we've been doing and what we're trying to do. Yeah.
Okay, real quick, let me get that phone number again, 657.
657-383-0616, and that begins at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We've been doing it every Tuesday now, and we want to, like, this is important. This is our country. This is our life. This is our future. This is our children's future. We should be dedicated as much as possible, doing everything we can. Otherwise, we're just as bad as they are, aren't we? If we're not getting involved and trying to, because appeasement will not work. I don't like appeasement and saying, well, you know, like the religious leaders, you know, well, God has a plan, so let's just, you know, put our head down, ho hum, and pray, and hopefully things will change. No, you know. What's that old saying? Evil flourishes when good men do nothing. So we have to stand up to this evil.
Absolutely. Now, I got Nathan out here. I'm going to put Nathan on where you are getting down to the end here. Actually, we can run over a couple of minutes, but I can't run over too late. Nathan may have a question for you. Nathan, how are you doing?
Pretty good. I got a comment. I don't know if anybody's noticed this, but Congress, Senate, the White House, all of those people are exempt from taking any vaccines. We've had Kamala Harris, I believe Nancy Pelosi, and now Biden that can't even tell you where he's at any one moment. And somehow or another, we hear that he got COVID and he got a shot and he's recovering. This is all propaganda, because the next wave, we're going to be sitting around thinking, well, you know, Biden, he's old and don't know where he's at, but he got through it. That's all just a big lie. It's just a big lie to make the masses say, well, I'll go get my shot. And we got people out here that were strong, young, and healthy, and they got it, and they're still having struggles along the way with some things that are lingering in their lives. So I just want to throw that out there.
That's true. What you said is true.
Yep. Well, and the other thing,
I'm going to hang up.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I will definitely try to tune in tomorrow. And remember, next week we're going to have a very big discussion on COVID and what COVID really was about. It's really an attack on America. It wasn't an intentional attack, whatever. We're going to go into a deep dive of what it really is all about. So please join if you can.
That's great. Yeah.
And thank you for calling in. Some very good information. Thank you so much.
And let me ask one more.
Yes.
I want to know the address of the Republic. RepublicofTheUnitedStates.org.
Oh, the RepublicofTheUnitedStates.org.
Okay, thanks.
And then the phone number one more time.
Phone number 657-383-0616. Tomorrow night, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Okay, did you get that, Karen? You okay?
6:30, yes.
Yep, okay. So we'll send out some information, too, to our email list and tell people to tune in, and we'll
Great.
Give them your website. So we'll see. Because it's like you said, it's about Americans coming together. If we don't come together, it's over. United
right.
we stand, divided we fall. It's nothing, truly nothing new of what is happening here. This is the history, the nature of the beast of humans, whatever you want to call it. Evil will flourish while good people sit on their whatevers and do nothing. So we have to do that. So excellent. Thank you so much for calling in, and please plan on calling in next week on the COVID topic.
You got it.
Okay, I understand you got to drop. Okay, Nathan, was there anything else that you wanted to chime in for right now? We got a grand total of about 6 minutes left here on the regular time, and I was going to run over just a few if we needed to. I don't want to miss anything, but I want to make sure you had a chance to okay. Nathan has dropped. Well, that takes care of that one. Joe, the other Joe, did you have anything else you wanted to chime in? Again, we've got 6 minutes left.
No, Nathan said he was going to drop. And I'm looking at the website now. So there isn't anything else that I have to add. Yeah, we do have to stand up. I'm hoping that we do it the right way that will make us successful. I would like to rise up in a way that would take the scoundrels the same way the French took back the Bastille. But I don't think it'll work. Now, if it could work, but I'm all for it. I'm all for results. If it can't work, then I don't want people to be dying needlessly. But if it does work, then people will not mind dying for the Republic. So those are the last words that I have.
Okay. Thank you so much. Good info. And, again, I'm expecting you to be on that call next week. Make sure you go put that little reminder, follow on the show page.
I'm making a note of it. I'm always looking for you, but I always miss you by an hour when I do get to you. I always miss your first hour of the show.
Well, you got to work on that. Get that reminder going. Okay, and then Terry. Yeah. Thank you. Good call. Good conversation. It's all been this has been an excellent discussion tonight. Karen, anything else you want to kind of chime in at the last words of wisdom here? And, you know, obviously you're going to talk about your show. Joe, both Joes may want to join you on your show at some point or whatever, but and share the information. You go ahead and give your show information if you'd like.
Well, thank you, Sally. I appreciate it. And my show is The Prism of America's Education, of which everything we've been talking about tonight is part of that, because I believe everything is connected. Everything has a plan. There is no such thing as coincidences, and all plans are based on lies. And we have to stop thinking of these people as Americans. They're not. They are aliens. They're from a foreign land because they believe they should own and control everything. And that's not...
You still there?
I think we lost her.
Karen, are you... Well, I have a feeling the dog started barking.
we have to be careful with that. You know, we have to be careful with that. You know, when you start accusing, you know, Americans of, you know, this. Look, we're here now. We're all here now. Nobody had a choice. I was born here. This is my country. You know, I didn't have a choice. What happened 230 years ago? I brought that up, I think, in the beginning of the conversation. All that. Well, we didn't have a seat at the table. This people. You're the conqueror. Listen, if we're going to get into that tribalism crap and start dividing each other, and this race is going to be superior to this one, or this one's owed that, we're never going to get anywhere. The globalists love it. They love it. You know, so we can't get into that. We're all Americans. We're all the people and citizens here in this land right now, and we've got to work together for life, liberty, and a pursuit of happiness for everyone within the borders of this country right now, and that's the only way we're going to get out of this.
I totally agree, and this is where I go back to good old Washington and his farewell address. We have to be aware of those who will want to divide us, to split us up by associations and factions and turn people against each other. I mean, he warned us way back then at his farewell address. So much of his farewell address is coming true, and if we ignore history. Karen, I see you're back. I thought it probably had something to do with the dogs, but I'm not sure.
No, actually, there is a storm, a thunderstorm.
Oh, okay.
And I lost the signal. So
okay.
I didn't know how that was.
Okay.
But,
anyway,
I was
talking about the education.
Oh, it was the Prism of America's Education, and it's brought to you on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. You can find me at KarenShone.com, and all my work and writing is there. Sally, a quick thing that I found as you were talking, I looked up some of the executive orders, and I didn't realize how he was using them to divide and conquer, because he would have a blah, blah, blah for the Hispanic people. And then he would have another executive order fostering education for the black people, fostering education for the Hispanic people. Each one he made as a group. And for those of us that know about America, there are not supposed to be any class divisions. There are not supposed to be any class divides. That was the whole idea. Our founders were so upset by the caste system in India that when they did the Constitution, they said there will be no classes. Everybody will be treated equally. Well, this is how, by separating the people, this is how they are using another technique called divide and conquer.
Yep. Absolutely, and it's totally unconstitutional to go out there and give other people special treatment. But that's when I come back and say, wait a minute, Congress, why do you have a black caucus? Why do you have a Asian caucus? Why do you have the Freedom Caucus? Whatever. They're all unconstitutional.
Where's the white caucus? I want to know where the white caucus is.
I believe we better have one. Why don't we have a white caucus? I mean, come on, this is insanity.
We need to be doing what they're doing. Whatever they want, we need to demand the same thing. And we have to stop being foolish about it, because that's the only way it's going to stop it. Otherwise, we're going to be living in this quagmire for a long time, and it won't be fun. But thank you so much, Sally. The show was fabulous, as usual. And it was incredible information, and I have Joe come on my show, all of us.
Yes.
I think it would be a very, very important conversation. So let's talk after. It would be terrific. Joe, you can reach me at K for Karen, B for Barbara, Schoen, S-C-H-O-E-N, and that's at bellsouth.net.
All right.
We will do that. United we stand at this time. Now we're going to close out the show here. As I say always, of course, thank you everybody for listening. But please get engaged. We got to America first. We have to work together. United we stand. And I'm going to go back to that saying that's got me in so much trouble lately. I love my country. It's the government I'm afraid of. It's the government. And if you get hauled out and escorted out of a building because you wear a shirt that says that, we have a really big problem. So we're going to keep working on that. The new saying that I just learned this week, and it's true, I'll have to get a T-shirt made with this one too, I think. I don't fear climate change. I don't fear global climate change. I fear global government. So global government and subgovernment. Those are it. Again, thank you again, everything. Excellent conversation, a lot of good info. We will continue to work together. It is up to us to come together, to work together. It is us who's going to save this country. It's not going to be those yahoos up in the cesspool of D.C. And thank you again, everybody, and God bless America. Good night, everyone.
Good night, all.
Good night.